Hi, friends. Welcome in to the firm of Harris and Meringue. Patrick Harris, yours truly. That's an empty chair next to me. Casey Smith back there on the ones and twos, holding it down. Going to be a part of our life, just you and me for a little bit, Casey.
How are we doing today, good sir?
I'm just fine. I am just fine. We can spend our next few days figuring out our lives for the next few days, Casey. I believe there are no assigned seatings at the Meringue wedding, but we have decided that we will have a table for us.
Yeah. I'm going to know no one else other than you there.
I know. You haven't met Joe Simons. I've met Joe Simons. So I will know Joe. I think I heard the brand man's coming.
Okay, so we'll get the brand man there.
Okay, but the boss is there now. Mm-hmm. So now we got to mind our P's and Q's.
Yeah, so now I got to cross some T's and dot some I's.
Yesterday, I asked about roadies for the ceremony, and Danny looked at me like I was crazy, and then I looked at you, and we were like, oh, okay, we got this. Yeah, we'll figure this out.
We're okay. What, is he crazy?
Except for it's an hour drive, bro, for me. Have you looked and seen how far the drive is
for
you?
It's like 35, 40 minutes for me.
Still, 40 minutes is woof.
That's enough where I'm like, we'll see. Rock, paper, scissors with the lady. See who's driving.
Yeah. You know, I had a partner once where we'd go out, and it was like the first person that got drunk enough they knew they couldn't drive, then the other one had to drive. That was a terrible idea.
Yeah, it's not the smartest of decisions.
That was a really terrible idea. I never lost, though.
I'm terrible at rock, paper, scissors. I always lose.
How are you terrible at a game of chance?
You tell me.
It's like I'm really bad at rolling dice. How are you really bad at rolling dice?
Again, I change up the strategy every time. My girl is just always one step ahead of me.
Maybe you change it up too much. Maybe that's your problem.
I think that's my issue.
You might have to go the old Bart Simpson route for a little bit. Good old rock. And just throw rock every time. And then in theory,
one of them's
that'll
gonna
work.
Hit.
Yeah,
gotta hit eventually.
It's got to hit eventually. Right? I mean, it has to.
It has to sometimes.
It has to. Have you seen that episode of The Simpsons?
No, I haven't.
It's really funny. Bart and Lisa have to do rock, paper, scissors. And then it goes into their heads of what they're thinking. And Lisa goes, poor defenseless Bart always picks rock. And then it goes to Bart and he goes, good old rock. And then loses instantly.
And she's got the Sherlock Holmes. He's just rock.
Yeah.
What do we got today?
Whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
Tequila. I haven't decided.
I haven't decided if I'm bringing, you know, a sixer or a flask yet.
I think there'll be a, you are a cider drinker, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I'll bring the cooler. I'll have a little cooler in the back of the car.
That works.
Yeah. Won't be much. Just be enough to get us through.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't decided whiskey or tequila yet in the flask.
I'm a tequila man myself.
Okay, all right. That's an easy choice then. We'll just go tequila. Maybe I'll go buy a nice bottle of tequila.
Oh, there you go.
See, in theory,
what
I should
you,
be...
What are you thinking?
Oh, I don't know. I'm trying to move off the brown liquor.
So we ringing the bell every time Danny says something?
Do you think Danny says his patent things like banger or dog in his vibes, in his vows?
I think we get at least a few. We have to take over-unders on certain phrases or things that we know are going to get said.
Absolute banger. I hope he says that. Yeah, I need that. I need that desperately. I'm already being told that we need a full-size cooler. We could. I mean, we could really burn this BZ down
if
we really want.
But there is just the two of us.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's... I don't know if I would be a good partner to my wife if...
Say, is preschool going to get down?
I mean, she will, but, like, one of us has to drive home.
One of us has to be responsible.
Yeah, and I don't know if I want to put that evil on her, you know? I should probably mind my own P's and Q's.
Yeah, I should as well, but who knows? Again, I'm going to be the youngest adult there by far, so I think I have to... act my age a little bit.
Yeah, isn't the next oldest person there is going to be like 16?
Yeah.
It's his new stepson.
You might as well just throw me at the kids' table with a sixer and said, let's roll.
Let's see. I wonder what a lift is, dude. What do you think the lift is?
We mapping out the day. It's probably like $60.
Let's see here. I was about to dox where the thing is. That'd be funny if everybody just shows up. I almost did it again.
From Portland to Newburgh, around $53.
$53? That's not bad, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
It's not terrible.
$50, $100 round trip. But then I don't have a cooler.
That's not necessarily true.
Can you take a cooler in a lift?
You're going to have to hide it in the bushes once we get there. That'll be the issue.
Oh, that's fine. It's outdoor. There'll be plenty of places.
Yeah. I think that's more the concern. Getting the cooler there, that's not really the issue. Where to store the cooler if you're not driving, that's the issue.
Yeah. Are you going to drive?
I might.
Okay.
Well, most likely.
Because the back of your truck is primo.
Yeah.
Primo.
Oh, yeah. But that also depends if I'm taking my truck or my brother's car. Because I've been riding around in my brother's car. For some reason, his keys are just the heaviest thing. And they're just obnoxious.
He's got, like, janitor keys?
I'll go.
Oh, you've got them with you. Whoa, what is that, bro?
There's just so much key.
How many of those are actual keys?
Two of them are actual useful.
The rest of them are just... Keychain garbage?
Just a lot of key.
Ugh.
For no reason.
Ugh.
It's just a random heavy thing I got to carry around in my pocket every day.
I
miss my truck.
I've been working really hard to minimize the things that I have. I have a bottle opener. I have the fob to my car, a key to my house, and the fob to the building.
See, that's what I need. I need three keys to get me in and out of the three doors that I go out of every day.
Yeah, when I left my last job and I turned in my key, I was like, this is awesome. One less thing on my key ring. I don't carry a wallet either. My wallet's connected to my phone.
I'm going to be really happy when I hand in this mail key to my apartment. I haven't checked my mail in months. That thing is probably filled to the brim with all those, you know, the grocery ads and do you want this fiber internet? No, I'm good.
Do you have a box that you have to go to with a key?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. And mine's like a half a block down the road, but it's the other way because like I live in a dead end. Mm-hmm. Like there's no outlet in my neighborhood and it's going the other way from the in and out of the neighborhood. I have no reason to go down there.
Mine's on the opposite side of my building.
And if I take the dog for a walk, I take the dog for a walk to the park, which is not going past that.
And sometimes the lady will go to, you know, our little clubhouse and go get coffee from there. But there's no reason for me to go in that clubhouse.
Yeah.
I have no reason whatsoever.
If you have those lockboxes, is there a way to, like, petition to the USPS that I don't want the lockbox anymore?
Just bring it to my door?
Just bring it to my door?
That's the issue. I also don't have numbers on the outside of my apartment.
Oh.
So you'd have to walk through the building to get it there. That's too much.
You don't have numbers on your apartment building?
Not on the outside. On the inside, in the hallway, yes, but not if you're looking on, I guess, the street view where a mailman would be.
I was thinking to myself, if there's no numbers, that's dangerous for if you've been a friend of the evening. Then you try to go back home and figure out where the hell you're going, and then you have no idea.
That is also an issue most nights where I'm stumbling home, and it's like, oh, no, this left, not that left.
I have been very lucky in my life to have never gone back to a house that I don't live in anymore.
Thankful for that as well.
I did give a friend a ride home one night. They were pretty intoxicated, hence they really needed a ride.
Mm-hmm.
And they took me to their old place in Happy Valley, and they lived in Selwood. And I was like, that's not awesome. They're kind of close, but I also live in North Portland.
And this is what we call the wraparound.
Yes, this is a long way to go. This is a long way to go. And that's why I don't DD.
It's a good reason.
It's a pretty solid rule in my life. It's like, I am not your Huckleberry. It's not me. Find somebody else. I promise you're going to have a better time.
I will take and pick people up from the airport. That's about as far as I'll go.
I'll do that to
drive people.
I got no problem. I'll be airport guy. Mm-hmm. I got no problem being airport guy.
Like, I have a buddy who every single time that I know he's coming into town, he calls me and goes, well, either I'm Ubering or I'm getting picked up by you from the airport. What are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that.
I'm also one of those kind of people because I hate riding in cars. Someone's like, do you need a ride to the airport? It's like, no, I'll just drive. They're like, you going to pay for parking? It's like, yeah, I am.
Why not?
Yeah, I am.
What else am I going to do?
Because...
inconvenience everyone else?
Yeah, and then when you come to pick me up, I have to sit in the car. Oh, someone gave me a ride the other day. Where was I? I rode in the front seat of somebody's car, and I was like, nope, don't like this. Don't like this at all. It's weird. I don't think it's a control thing. You know, I like to think I'm not somebody that needs to be in control.
I think it's a peace thing and also like Who wants to do small talk these days?
Yeah.
Small talk sucks.
Plus, if I drive, it's my car, so I'm comfortable. It's my stereo.
My tunes.
My tunes, so I'm careful. My AC. My AC. My chargers for my phone. Yeah, and just...
All the little details where you're like, I'm in my element. I don't need to be in someone else's element.
Yeah, I've slept in my vehicle a frequent amount, too. Not like a houseless person, but like camping and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to Dave this year. I'll probably sleep in my car because I'm too lazy to put up a tent.
Smart move.
Yeah.
Or you could just do what I've been trying to do. Tent in the bed of the truck.
Oh, yeah.
Pop the trunk and then just put the tent right back there.
Yeah.
You ain't got to worry about bugs, but.
Bugs are whatever. Bugs are whatever. Mm. And so because I've done that, I am very, very attached to my vehicle. Like, I feel one with the vehicle.
I'm with you there.
Despite the fact that I don't sit in any of the other seats, I have laid down and relied on that vehicle to keep me shelter enough that we are one and the same.
It's a safety thing.
I did update my registration yesterday for everybody that's concerned. I did do that.
There we go.
And I actually also paid to have my old license plate from my pickup truck put on my new car because they're Wazoo plates.
How long has that one been pending for?
What do you mean?
How long you've been waiting to get to that?
Oh, 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
That's one where you put that one off in the distance and go, oh, yeah, I got to do that before I get pulled over again.
Yeah. I got home yesterday at 3:10 and I had to do something at 4:00 and I was like, I got enough time to go to the registration, to go to the DOL. Ooh, I just remembered, where are those license plates? And then I went in the garage and I found them and now they're on.
Little victories.
I know, dude. I feel a lot better about it. Now it feels real. Now it feels real. The car is officially mine.
Now you feel like you've earned your right for us to bring a cooler to Danny's wedding.
I think that's a great idea. I think that's a great point.
I think there's no other reason. If I get everything I've done, I mean, need to do done off the list, I'm bringing the cooler.
Tags updated. License plate changed. We're going to reward ourselves by bringing a full cooler to Meringue's wedding. Plus and then we'll just pass them out, dude. We'll be the bell of the ball.
Plus, we still get the sneak peek for Friday.
Yeah,
this is gonna be fun.
That's right. Tune in Friday, the big nooner. Casey and I will debut what we're wearing to Danny Meringue's wedding. That'll be really fun. Oakley Doakley, we got a great show for you today. A lot to get to. There is some baseball stuff we'll jump into since it's I am the captain now. Look into my eyes. Nate Bucati from MLS Apple TV is going to join us at 11:15 to preview the San Diego game tonight for the Timbers as that takes place 7:30, 6:30 kick right here on The Fan. I'll also provide for you. I sat down with Marty Cifuentes yesterday. Jake Siven and I did for Timbers Fan. We'll bring that interview to you as well. An update on the Mark Walters fiasco in Los Angeles. But let's start. Stop. They're already dead. 105.1 The Fan. 1018 Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326. That's The Fan text line. She'll let you get down with us all day, throughout the entire day. You can jump over on the YouTubes. 105.1 The Fan is the channel. Like, subscribe, smash them buttons, jump in the chat. Be nice to each other out there. A lot to get to this hour. We will get into a little bit of NFL as there's Jerry's doubling down on some stuff. And, you know, when you start paying guys, then other dudes look around and go, wait a sec. That guy makes how much money?
Dial it down, folks.
That guy makes how much money and I make how much money? So we get to some NFL this hour as well. But we start, my friend. There's only one left. Only one thing left to do. Ladies and gentlemen.
It's been a good ride.
The 2026 Seattle Mariners are officially dead on arrival.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if there's anything to do to help them. I think it's time to just pack it up and call it a day. The Seattle Mariners fall last night 22-0 to the Milwaukee Brewers.
That's rough. Again, 22.
It is
okay, that's tough for your pitching. You put up a goose egg. You couldn't even get to the park that day.
It is the largest shutout in baseball history, the largest margin of victory in a shutout since, I believe, 1898. What else do we got here? Gary Sanchez closed the game out on the mound, gave up 2 hits in 1 inning, no walks, no Ks, no runs. This is a pretty rough look, my man.
This is really rough. That's really tough.
I like to live in a world when it comes to baseball. Look, they're only 3.5, something like that, back from the wild card. I like to live in a world where, like, anything can happen. You know, you can find ways to get stuff down. You can find ways to pull out of slumps. This one, I don't know if this is going to do it.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Julio made the catch and then threw the ball out of play. So they were there was only one out. So once he threw out a play, everyone got a base. There's another base hit.
Well, now we've tied a record.
Yeah, it's 22 at this point.
So when things go bad, sometimes things continuously go bad, and they get to a point where I don't know if you're going to pull out of it. Now, the interesting thing about the Seattle Mariners in the American League West is, look, the team that might win the American League West might have an under 500 record. Okay, the Houston Astros are atop that division right now at 500, 63-63. Rangers are a game back. Mariners are 4 game back. What's interesting is the Mariners actually have less ground to cover in the wild card race. However, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams ahead of them for 3 spots. So that puts them in a little tricky position. Their best chance is to win the American League West. But I don't know, Casey, if I have seen a team fall apart like this, okay? A lot of expectations coming this year. You're in the American League Championship Series last year. For my money, you probably should have beat Toronto and gone to the World Series. Mm-hmm. Toronto was lightning in a bottle. They were hot. They were able to win that series. Great, great series. Really good baseball to watch. So you come in this year with a lot of expectations. I don't think anybody estimated Cal's drop-off to be as big as it was. I mean, I know Toronto fans are also concerned because I believe it has been 347 days since Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has hit a home run at Rogers Center, which is a wild thing to think about.
It's been a full year.
It's been a full year, 365? Yep. Okay.
366 after
Ooh,
yesterday.
Gross. So you assume that Cal Raleigh's going to have a little dip in performance, but I don't think you expect it to be this big of a dip in performance.
Yeah, 157, a 271 on-base percentage, and a 299 slugging.
Can you see on that how many hits does he have?
He's got 52 hits in 331 at-bats.
He had 60 home runs last year, and he has 53 hits.
Yeah, he's got 13 home runs this year. That would put him not even in the top five of the Mariners.
Now, Julio's not figured it out yet. Josh Naylor's been porous.
But Julio's still having relatively average numbers. The strikeouts is probably what you want to take away from him, but he's...
Welcome to his whole career.
256, 321 on-base percentage, 422 slugging. Decent numbers.
Yeah, but Josh Naylor's been down. And Colt Emerson's been kind of a bust hitting-wise. Brendan Donovan's been hurt all year. The only good player for the Mariners right now is Randy Arozarena, and he's in a walk year. And yep. I don't think he's coming back.
I don't think so either.
I don't think he's coming back. The pitching staff has not been as great as it should be. Okay, you Bryce Miller. What's that?
You optioned away Luis Castillo at the deadline, and he's only done beautiful things for this White Sox team.
Which is crazy, because he was the guy you had to get rid of. Because the payroll, the salary, where's he going to fit in the rotation? He's the odd man out. Mm-hmm. You had to move him. And you did, and it's kind of revigorated him a little bit in Chicago. He's on a team that could make a run in the playoffs. Look, I think it boils down to a lot of stuff. We talk about this when it comes to, new ownership. We spend a lot of time talking about new ownership in sports, especially in basketball. Where sometimes you might need to tear this thing down to the studs. With how this season is gone, I mean, Dan Wilson's got to go. There's already reports that if they don't make the playoffs, he's going to go. Could have seen that a mile away. But I wonder if you're really talking clean the house. I wonder if you're talking get rid of DePoto, get rid of the GM, get rid of it all and start from scratch. Because you are in a window now with guys that you have locked up that can do stuff that you have to figure out. Now
that's why I don't think you scrap everything, because this is the Mariners' best window that I've seen them have in my lifetime in terms of roster and just roster cohesiveness and the talent loaded up on this roster. This is the Mariners' best window that I've seen in my lifetime.
I think it's the second best window in mine. I mean, I'm alive for 95, so I'm alive for that. That team was stacked. 2001 was a stacked team as well, but that was a lot of really good role players that were all kind of having career years.
The Dan Wilson of it all is really what's scaring me.
Me too.
I think he should have been gone by the deadline. I don't think that the roster construction made sense and how that he was managing everything, especially with the six arms in the bullpen, in the starting rotation. Created a lot of confusion. Obviously, you're not getting the performance out of your all-star catcher that you want. So it's a big issue right now, and I think it's a more of a clubhouse issue than necessarily a roster construction issue.
You're looking at a starting rotation that should rival anybody's in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You also have Cade Anderson and Ryan Sloan right behind, ready to do some damage as well.
Yep.
So you have assets you can move. Looking at George Kirby. I wouldn't move Logan Gilbert, but you could. You've got Josh Naylor, Cal Raleigh, Julio Rodriguez. Look, Cole Young has been excellent at second base this year. He might win the Gold Glove, and probably, in fact, he should. Taylor Ward addressed your right field problems, but you had right field problems all year. You know, Brendan Donovan couldn't stay healthy. You had third base and shortstop issues all year. J.P. Crawford was hurt multiple times. You're in a really bad spot, but you're in a window of young, old, controllable. Like, this is the time to go.
And your pitching is only getting – your relief pitching – is only getting worse. And I think that's one of the quickest indictments you can have on a manager in baseball is who he's selecting to come in situational moments. And the guys that Wilson has been selecting to come in these tight game moments, we've seen a lot of Mariners 4-4, 3-3, again, low scoring, but tied close games when they're going into the sixth, the seventh, possibly even the eighth inning, and they're blowing leads. That's the toughest thing. So I think it's situationally who guys are which guys Dan Wilson's bringing in the bullpen, as well as, well, offense and defense needs to come together, because that's not what's happening right now.
Have you seen what's going on in the Mariners subreddit right now?
No, hit me with it.
They have completely abandoned all thoughts of baseball. It is now completely 100% for nautical enthusiasts of the Seattle area and beyond. Have you seen this whale?
That's a quick pivot.
Is this your favorite? Who's the greatest Mariner ever? All star. It's Stephen Decatur, who sailed the Intrepid undetected past the guns of Tripoli Harbor and burned the Philadelphia to keep the Pirates from using it. And this guy says, I think it's James Cook.
And this was a team that was one game or, again, a few instances away from being in a World Series.
Yeah. Has anybody figured out the longitude problem yet? I need to see how close I am to Spain.
Like, this is tough. This is one of the quickest turnarounds. The fact that they're was 8 games out of the wild card race?
Yeah. My favorite Mariner to watch on TV, and it's a picture of Popeye the Sailor Man.
Tough.
You've broke them. They're dead.
They're hurting.
You killed them.
They're hurting a lot.
Seattle fans are pretty diehard, man. They'll take it. They're used to taking it. You've killed them.
You gave them one sliver of hope and then stripped it away from them in less than 12 months.
Look, I root for the Mariners from afar. I don't know how he comes. Are we on Luke Anderson watch right now?
Do we need to
check in with him every hour?
Check in.
Oh, boy.
It's a tough look right now for the Mariners.
It really is, especially with how low the American League is, how bad the West is. Everything was working in your favor. You might not be the Tampa Bay Rays at 75-50, but you could easily be 72-53.
The team that you lost to go into the World Series is one of their worst starts of the season, or even one of the worst seasons that we've seen them have since before Jose Bautista, and they're still reachable within the wild card ahead of your Mariners. That's the tough look. You just said it. Vladimir Guerrero hasn't hit a home run in over a year, and they're still closer in the wild card standings than the Mariners are.
The Mariners are closer to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim than they are to the New York Yankees, who have the first wild card spot.
How you doing?
That's insane.
Awful. But that's awful.
That is insane. The Angels are buns.
They were closer to the sellers of the deadline. The Angels were the biggest sellers of the deadline. And the Mariners are right there with them.
503-864-6326. Let me know your Mariners situation. You guys doing all right out there? Because I'm a little worried. Don't blow the whole thing up. No. Let's not get crazy here. Okay? This isn't trade Cal Raleigh, trade Julio, trade Naylor, trade Gilbert, trade Wu. No. We're not there.
I don't want to call for a guy's job, but something's got to give.
Oh, Dan's got to go. I'll call for the job. I'll be the one. I'll fall on the sword. Dan's got to go. You need somebody in that has history. Because, look, Dan might be a good vibes guy, but, you know, Phil Neville was a good vibes guy, too. Sometimes you just got to find new voices, new leadership. And as much as everybody loves, you know, the great, Edgar's probably got to go, too.
I think this Mariners team needs to find a way to get scrappy. And Dan Wilson's ethos of what his team is not scrappy.
Might as well go win the whole f***ing thing.
How surprised would you be if they went on a run?
Not very surprised, because they have the talent to. That's the issue. They're so talented where I don't see them not making the wild card.
I know. I want to say that too, but I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I have a tough time saying it with
Julio's mistake. Julio's mistake last night. Cal being MIA. Look, I think they've cashed in. I think it's 1-2-3 Cancun.
I think you could be right.
When we come back, Jerry won't let old things die, or at least he'll double down on him. Well, that's what Jerry does. We'll toss it to Casey with sports. Big hour of footy coming up here in hour number deuce, but let's jump into the NFL, have a little fun as football's getting closer and closer. Do we have preseason games tomorrow, Casey? Am I correct in that? NFL preseason tomorrow?
I believe you are correct.
Let's see here. Thursday, yep. A 5 o'clock game and a 7 o'clock game. The Raiders visit the Houston Texans. Niners at Chargers.
And then we also have a few games on Friday as well.
Okay, so football and then a few on Saturday. Let's see, is there any on Sunday? Scrolling. No. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you get some NFL in your life. Maybe I'll watch some of this.
One Sunday game. Seattle and Tennessee play on Sunday.
Oh, which you can hear right here on The Fan. Home of your Seattle Seahawks. Jerry Jones. Okay, we all know the old great Jera.
Smiles and glory holds.
And how much he loves football and cares about football, but more importantly, no one's bigger than the star except for old Jerry himself, right? Is that fair to say? No one's bigger than the star except for Jerry himself. Okay.
Perfect.
Jerry Jones has addressed the Micah Parsons trade again. Dude, this is like a girlfriend that you broke up with and you won't stop talking about. So she lives rent-free in your head is basically how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
He said, quote, even though Micah's an outstanding talent anybody would like to have, the bottom line is I like what the result of the trade has ended up as I stand here today. It's like going to Las Vegas with some extra money in your pocket or going out there with the baby's new pair of shoes and formula money in your pocket. You can't be as good a crap shooter as you are when you've got the baby's new pair of shoes throwing out there with it. Oh, okay.
You want me to revisit these trade package deals?
Yes, please.
All right, so Micah Parsons was traded on August 28th of 2025, and in return, got the Dallas Cowboys received defensive tackle Kenny Clark.
Which was a nice pickup.
A Packers 2026 and a 2027 first-round pick. The 2026 first-round pick was used to select edge rusher Malachi Lawrence out of UCF, and the 2027 first-round pick was later leveraged to acquire Quinnen Williams from the Jets.
Okay, so Quinnen Williams, nice player.
You got Kenny Clark, Malachi Lawrence, and Quinnen Williams out of those.
Is Jerry confusing that Caleb Downs is not part of that?
Possibly, but either way, you still got three rushers.
Does he think he got Caleb Downs because he traded Micah Parsons?
Partially, I bet.
I think he does.
I bet.
I think he does. He's like, well, we traded Micah Parsons, and our defense was so bad that we couldn't win games last year, and that landed us Caleb Downs, who also fell in the draft further than anybody assumed. So, I mean, that's clearly because of Micah Parsons.
And they also helped bolster their defense by getting Jalen Thompson, safety from Arizona, and Kobe Durant, cornerback from the Rams, who obviously the Rams decided not to pay because they went and got Trent McDuffie.
Now, the other thing is, does Jerry think that Micah Parsons ripping his knee to shreds is also a benefit from him trading him?
Yes, because he's got three defensive linemen right now that are all going to take week one snaps. Micah Parsons is not.
You can't be as good a crap shooter as you are when you've got the baby's new pair of shoes throwing out there with it.
I think my biggest issue was this was when it happened.
Dude, you're a weirdo.
Micah Parsons' value was through the roof, so everyone was going, oh, you can't get rid of a guy like Micah. Well, the Cowboys in return got what I would say is a three guys that should add up to Micah's production.
So you do think that the Cowboys did well in this trade eventually?
I didn't know that.
Quinnen Williams is nice, and they extended him.
Yeah, the being able to leverage that 2027 first round pick for Quinnen Williams, who is top five at his position right now, that's big. Kenny Clark, he's a Pro Bowler. But I'm very interested to see what this first-round edge rusher, Malachi Lawrence, at a UCF looks like. Because, again, UCF, I love my pass rushers, and they're on an island a lot of the time. But what is this jump to the NFL going to look like for him?
Yeah, and I'm just curious about the Cowboys in general. I mean, I know we don't spend a ton of time talking about the Cowboys on this program, mostly because I have no reason to. But as you've been running by your fantasy garbage with me, I mean, Dak should have a nice year. He had a nice year last year statistically.
Javonte Williams ran for 1,000 yards last year. He's seeming to find his stride in the NFL.
I know not everybody believes in Brian Schottenheimer, and I understand that, and I'm okay with that. I don't know if I do either.
Those are fair criticisms.
You're in a loaded division. The Giants are getting better. The Eagles are still probably the most talented roster of that division.
But I don't know if the Giants are getting better.
I bet you the Giants are getting better.
How so?
I think Harbaugh gives you a win and a half.
I think their defense is getting better. Sure. Offensively, there's still so many questions there because you don't know what Jackson Dart looks like in full form. Cam Scadaboo, what is he going to stay healthy? Is that why you go get a guy like Najee Harris to help take the load off of Scadaboo?
But I do think the Giants will be better.
I think they'll be better. I don't think they'll compete for this division.
I don't think so either, but they're going to be better, so that'll be a tough route. Did they not beat the Cowboys last year one out of the two times? The Russ game? It was like 45-43. Didn't that happen last year?
The Russ game, no.
Is that 2 years ago?
I believe it was the Jameis receiving touchdown game.
I don't remember.
I think that could have been the one.
And then the Commanders. The Commanders should be better, assuming health. I know Mariota's down, which really stinks for them.
But you're hoping that Stephon Diggs is able to allow Jaden Daniels to spread the ball around to Terry McLaurin. You still have Zach Ertz over the middle.
Yeah.
You've got a decent running back room, and that defense is always the biggest question.
Scary got paid, so you're good on that.
Mm-hmm.
You assume Jaden Daniels is healthy. I mean, do the Cowboys finish third in this division?
I think they win this division.
You do?
Yeah. I have a hard time thinking that Philadelphia is able to be as effective in the passing game this year without a guy like A.J. Brown. They're undersized at the receiver position. I don't necessarily know what Mekhi Lemon's going to look like against NFL corners.
Hey, man, what do you mean you don't know what I look like?
I don't know, man. It's a big question.
Perked
because
out?
They're very undersized.
Yeah.
Like Devonta Smith is the Slim Reaper, and Mekhi Lemon's your other receiver.
What'd you call him? Perk 30?
Yeah. What numbers does he wear?
I don't know. What does he wear?
We'll figure that out.
Okay. All right. Well, that's Dallas Cowboy owner Jerry Jones doubling, tripling down on that. And, you know, when you spell it out, yeah, maybe you are correct.
He's number nine, so he's perk nine.
Maybe, maybe it is correct, and this team is better from moving on from Micah Parsons. Comparing it to the Herschel Walker trade, I find really hilarious, too, because that rattled off three Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Those are a lot of shoes to fill if you think you're going to rattle off three Super Bowls by trading Micah Parsons. I would have just paid Micah Parsons personally.
I don't hate the move. I think Jerry made the right move, again, because if Mike is going to stay hurt, you don't necessarily know what his production is, but you got guys that are going to give you real production. My biggest issue is how does it all seem? How does it all come across?
Mm-hmm.
And it all comes across like, well, the ex-girlfriend is still taking up space in that head.
No kidding. I think that's the worst part about it. It's just like, bro, like, move on. Okay, he doesn't play on your team.
It's a little
sad.
In
fact, he's not even going to play week one, bro. Let it go.
He's looking to play against you in week six.
Yeah, dude, just
five games that he's not a part of that
you
possibly could be division deciders.
Just talk about like the, you know, we extended Quinnen Williams. We love Caleb Downs. Let's do this thing. Dak's going to have a huge year. Why are you talking about the X? Leave it alone, Jerry. Leave it alone. What happens when you pay somebody? Well, the old guard goes, wait a sec. That guy makes money? Stick in the NFL next. 105.1 The Fan. The Fan Sports Network. Whoa, we got breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. Coming in hot.
Got some breaking news for Adam Schefter. As former Cowboys two-time Pro Bowl cornerback Trayvon Diggs is signing a one-year deal with your Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks.
Look, I love the pickup. I think it's fantastic. I think it's a great move. We'll see if Trayvon Diggs still has stuff left in him. I would imagine he does. The Cowboys situation was a little sticky, as we just talked about some Cowboys situations down there. But look, if Seattle wants to go the route of taking flyers on dudes and seeing if they pan out, Trayvon Diggs, Terry and Arnold, obviously very different situations between the two guys. But it's a little less Snead. You know, it's a little Tampa Bay with Tom Brady. Just go get dudes that we know are dudes and let's see if we can't reclimate them.
Yeah, it seems like during the offseason they weren't necessarily trying to go search for guys to bolster that room because, well, they drafted the guys that they wanted to, and Bud Clark out of TCU. Obviously, you re-signed Witherspoon, got off of the Kobe Bryant and the Reek Woolen contracts. Now you're just adding a good piece to your unit. I mean, that's, you can't ask for more. That's a pretty good pick.
I think it's a great move for them. That was the concern going into camp this year, was just the lack of depth for the Seahawks. And if you continue to put depth in there, they're just going to continue to get better. And it's not like anybody else around you is slowing down. Speaking of that, NFL coverage on The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. This news story comes to you by way of El Segundo, California. Look, Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, pretty nice running backs, right? I personally am a Christian McCaffrey fan, and when he sees $134.25 million deals given to Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson, whoa, hold up. Where's my money? I want my dollars, because if I'm not mistaken, was Christian McCaffrey pretty good last year?
All-purpose guy.
Played every single game for the first time in a while, and I know that's the tough thing with Christian McCaffrey, is his availability. He's been banged up his entire career. But if you do get a healthy Christian McCaffrey, I mean, he could have won Offensive Player of the Year last year. I still would have voted for JSN. I thought that's how great of a year JSN had. But didn't we talk about this at the end of last season, that Christian McCaffrey finished doing something that only like three other running backs in the history of the NFL have done?
Correct.
So if you're Christian McCaffrey, I totally get it. Now, he sat out a couple days in camp, and the quote from Kyle Shanahan, I think they make a lot of assumptions, and that would be the one they're wrong on. Because people think he's sitting out because he's holding out, because he wants more money.
Again, in 2023, he had 2,023 yards. Again, 1,500 rushing, a little over 500 receiving, 21 touchdowns. In 2024, he was hurt. Again, only played four games. 2025, 2,100 total yards, 1,200 rushing, 924 receiving, 17 touchdowns, 17 games.
That's amazing.
He's good for a touchdown a game.
He's very, very good.
Christian McCaffrey anytime touchdown is negative money on the sports books.
He's also like your fourth best quarterback on the roster. Let's not forget this. Remember in the NFC Championship, like, he was the backup.
Yep.
It came to a point where he was the backup.
Let's run Wildcat.
It's tricky though, and this is what makes a lot of this stuff tough. Is, you know, if you're Christian McCaffrey, do you deserve maybe a little pay bump? If Bijan Robinson, look, long-term Bijan is the better choice, in my opinion. Long-term Bijan's the better choice, but Christian McCaffrey is still very, very good and very productive. But if you're CMC, you're also looking around like, where is that money going to come from?
Yeah, I think you don't...
They're in cap hell.
You don't get Bijan Robinson's contract without the production that you've seen from Christian McCaffrey. I genuinely think if you take Carolina Christian McCaffrey and just say, okay, look at those numbers, he gets paid 8 out of 10 times in the way that we look at the running backs now because of how many few bell cow backs there really are.
But if you look at Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson, okay, they are able to make that kind of money because who else is making that kind of money on their teams? Not many people. No quarterback in Atlanta is making that kind of money. You paid Kyle Pitts. But nobody else is making that kind of money on that squad.
Detroit has five or six guys who are really making a ton of the money in Detroit. Everything else is kind of just, all right, coalition it all and just cohesiveness in the team. But they paid Jack Campbell a lot of money. They pay Aiden Hutchinson a lot of money. Penei Sewell gets a lot of money. Jared Goff and Amon-Ra get a lot of money. And then Jahmyr Gibbs gets a bunch of money.
And then in San Francisco, Brock Purdy gets a ton of money. Christian McCaffrey gets a ton of money. Mike Evans got paid.
Bosa's
getting paid. George Kittle's getting paid.
Fred Warner.
Trent Williams is getting paid. Fred Warner's getting paid. Nick Bosa's getting paid. You know, can we continue? You know, Lenore's getting paid. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no more money to go around. There's no more money to go around in San Francisco. And I get any guy, you know us on this show. We are not people that are anti getting the bag. I just, the cow has been milked, amigo. I don't know, unless you want to force your way out, which I think is a bad idea, I don't know where that money's coming from. And that's where it gets tricky. And that's why if I'm a Niners fan, like, everything everything is right now. We talked about the Seattle Mariners earlier. Like, everything is right in front of you. I think the Niners are a lot closer to it than the Mariners ever are. But when you're the Niners right now, like, you have all this money tied up in old dudes, and it's going to eventually, the foot's going to drop at some point.
Christian's getting paid $19 million a year, and he could easily make 25.
Easily. And his cap hit this year is 10.86. Next year, it's 26.41.
How old do you think Christian McCaffrey is?
32.
27 years old.
Stop.
Christian McCaffrey is the same age as Jonathan Taylor. He's the same age as Travis Etienne, a year older than Josh Jacobs.
Wow. He
is a year older than Ramondre Stevenson.
This says he's 30.
As of?
I've got him June 7th of 1996.
Okay, so he would be 30 then. I'm looking at
spot
track. But either way, this is a guy that you have 2-3 more years.
Tops
out of him.
Tops. And let's not forget, he has had Achilles issues. Tendinitis.
The oldest running back in the league is 31 years old. His name is Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
Just a different type of human.
Different type of human.
Everyone else.
But hey, man, you can even make the argument, Derrick Henry is slowing down. I don't want to take it away from Derrick Henry because he's still a Hall of Fame and still can play at an elite level. But this ain't...
Is Derrick Henry slowing down? How many yards did he rush for in 2020?
Look, I understand...
Sorry, in 2021.
2021 is 5 years ago, dude.
937. How much did he rush for last year? 1,600.
Well, I understand because Baltimore used him correctly.
But he's good for...
Do you think he's rushing for 1,600 yards again?
Yeah, because he's... in 2023 with... 280 carries, which is 40 less carries than he had in 24 and 25. He ran for 1,100 yards and 12 touchdowns. That Titans team in 2023 was not good. They were not. That was the end of Tannehill. A.J. Brown was wanting out. Everyone was starting to get hurt on that defensive side of the ball. Then he ran for nearly 2,000 yards again. Like, we're talking about a guy who I can give the ball to 30 times a game, and he's still going to give me elite production? He's one of the most special backs, I think, of all time.
This texter, 503-864-6326. I know we got a lot of Niners fans in the area. Niners have $67.6 million in cap space. If that's the truth, I would throw some chuckles at him. The question is, will we pay him?
Why not extend him for 2 years?
Why not, man? They don't grow on trees, man.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see him in the draft a whole lot. Look, Ashton Jeanty, Jeremiah Love, they might be great running backs, but... they're not Christian McCaffrey.
The usage that you're getting out of Ashton Jeanty and Jeremiah Love is not the same as you're getting out of Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey.
Agreed. Very much so. Let's get into our number deuce. Merritt Paulson, owner of the Portland Timbers, had some interesting comments when it comes to the Blazers and the Moda Center. Plus, Nate Bucati from MLS Apple TV will join us. We'll talk a little Timbers as they take on San Diego tonight. He'll be on the call on Apple TV. And then I will play for you the interview I had with Marti Cifuentes yesterday. A lot more to get to. Our number deuce is next. 105.1 The Fan.